97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 6:51 on a Tuesday night. We have hockey back as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Yes, exhibition style hockey, but they pick up the win in overtime, right? So you get a W, you get a little bit of hockey, get your feet wet, get a little taste, and they are actually back at it this weekend for game number one against the Boston Bruins for the round robin as they start their path to the Stanley Cup Finals. Devon Givens with you until we're going about roughly 8:15, I'm guessing. 8:15, we're here until as we get ready for Sixers-Mavs basketball, final exhibition game for them inside the bubble. It's been a good day so far for me. Hopefully everything continues with the 76ers picking up a victory over the Dallas Mavericks later on this evening. Josh Rabig is producing the show. We'll take your thoughts on, of course, what you saw in this Flyers game. A lot of good stuff to talk about, to be perfectly honest with you. Exhibition or not, they come away with the win. Number one, the most important thing, health. Everyone came away clean. Everyone's healthy. Everyone is all good. Zero positive tests inside the bubble as they are in Toronto. Edmonton is the other hub city for the NHL. So far, so good. So you get one game in the books. You get one exhibition game. Everything is good. Everyone is healthy. Hopefully we get nothing post-game and letting us know that someone had a little injury and we didn't know about it. It's all good. It's all good right now. So we'll take your calls on what you saw in the Flyers game, what you heard right here on the Fanatic as you're riding around on this humid day here in the Delaware Valley. Let us know what you thought. The Flyers pick up a 3-2 overtime win thanks to Scott Laughton with the overtime goal to lock things down. No playing around. Nothing cute. Just a quick flip up to the top over the goalie. Let's walk away clean. Let's get out of here. 3-2 win. But there are some things to set it up first, right? Pittsburgh gets up to an early start, 1-0 lead. Couturier, though, with a nice goal to tie it up in the first period, 1-1. And as we think it's going to go into the first intermission, 1-1. All right, it's all good. Let's go in here. Let's have a little pep talk in this exhibition. Give these guys a little more ice time. Give them a little more skating time to get out there, get their legs underneath them, walk away healthy, get them off of the ice going into the third period. But no, Kevin Hayes says no, right? Lazy pass by Malkin. Nice turnover there. Kevin Hayes snatches it with about 30 seconds to play in the first period. 2-1 Flyers going into that first intermission. Play really well, feeling good. They carried it through to the third period. Pittsburgh, as Jason, you just heard, Jason Martinez with the post-game coverage, saying that, hey, these guys played really well for the majority of the third period. Pittsburgh. They finally got things to just a little under 4 minutes where they tied it up with Zucker with the goal to tie it up 2-2. Going to overtime, you get the win. Flyers walk away once again clean. They seem to be playing at their pace, not rushing things. They seem to be looking like the same team that we saw back in March when the league shut down, when they were on that good run, when they were winning all these games, when they had everyone talking about this could be a team that goes into the postseason and puts a lot of pressure on the rest of these teams in the Eastern Conference, that they're going to be someone to reckon with. A team that we did not expect it to be this way under the guidance of Alain Vigneault, a lot of young players with the vets that we know of. Yet, here we are again with so many months off, some practice time, certainly, but they seem to be playing like the same hockey club that we saw, not looking too rusty, picking up right where they left off, just like it was when the season stopped. And it was really good to see them back out there on the ice, right? Just running up and down the ice, looking pretty good. Well, once again, just playing under control, playing at their pace, making sure that the Pittsburgh Penguins, a very good opponent, obviously, to start things off, a very good opponent for them to start off, where everyone is just looking to go out there and walk away healthy, walk away with no injuries. And that's why the shots on goal seem to be really low, right? Everybody's just out there. We talk about guys in spring training working on their stuff, working on their pitches, the pitching particularly, where they're trying to work on things. These guys are just trying to go out there with one exhibition game, getting ready for an important round robin where they cannot fall further than four, but can, in those three games that they play, can win and move up to the top in the Eastern Conference standings. It is very important that they don't have any health scares in a game like this, where it's just a tune-up for what we're about to see this weekend when they started up against the Boston Bruins. So that was most important. You saw some good things. You saw Carter Hart play very well. He had a very good stop early on. I think it was Malkin who had one right in front of the net, had a very good look, a very good opportunity, and Carter Hart with a good save. So it was just good to see hockey back. Good to see hockey back for all the Flyer fans that are out there, all the hockey fans. I heard Tyrone say it earlier. No reason for anybody not to watch this now. If you want sports back and you've been paying attention to what's going on with Major League Baseball, especially since it hit close to home with us here in Philadelphia, you also have a hockey team that is one that many people felt could do some damage in the postseason. No reason for anyone not to pay attention to what the Flyers did today, could do this weekend, and can continue to do going forward in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You want it, as we talked about with baseball, the enthusiasm and trying to get everybody back to feeling good about sports being back. Sports are back. The issues that are going on with Major League Baseball, we'll get to that. We have until 8:15, so we'll talk about that for sure. We'll get into some basketball leading you into Sixers-Mavs, and we'll be back after the game as well for In the Post, preseason style. And there's just no reason for us to not pay attention to the Flyers. They are in the playoffs. They are a good team that people are paying attention to. You have to pay attention to the Flyers. You may not like it, may not watch it on a normal situation, but this is not a normal situation. This is a situation of we want sports back. Well, now you have it, and you're going to have hockey back. You're going to have basketball back. Sometimes they're going to be on at the same time. Sometimes baseball is going to be on at the same time as one of the other two, if not both. But hockey is one of them that you're getting back, and your team has a chance to do something really special in the postseason. And I would advise everyone, even if you are not a big-time hockey fan, to pay attention to what's going on with the Philadelphia Flyers. So they get their first win, exhibition style, in their only exhibition game over a tough opponent, a probably the most hated opponent for the Philadelphia Flyers over the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That is one serious rivalry.
A 3-2 victory. Thank you, Coatsy and Josh Rabick. A 3-2 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins. And now they get ready for the start of their round robin against the Boston Bruins this weekend. I believe it's a 3:00 puck drop this weekend on Sunday, right, against the Boston Bruins. Sixers on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers. Baseball back for the Phillies on Friday. So you will have a lot to choose from over the next weekend to lock in on, and the Flyers should definitely be one of the teams that you pay attention to. We are again, you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Josh Rabick producing, I'm Devon Givens. We are with you until 8:15 before Sixers Mavericks basketball right here on the home of Sixers basketball, Sixers Radio Network, 97.5 The Fanatic. As far as hockey, if you want to call in and talk about what you heard or what you saw, 610-632-0975. Healthy, zero positive tests inside the bubble for the NHL. Now let's transition a little bit to Major League Baseball, where we have found out a little bit earlier that we now have four more Marlins positive tests, totaling now 15 players and two coaches for the Miami Marlins. They have decided now as a team that they are not going to go back to Miami. Should have done that. Should have done that already. But they're not going back to Miami. They are not playing again for until, what did they say, Sunday possibly, that they will not play. Marlins have been shut down through at least Sunday.
Jeff Passan. Genius,
exactly.
Genius.
Yeah, yeah. Could have done that before. They will be shut down through at least Sunday. That was a tweet earlier from Jeff Passan of ESPN. No games. The Philly series versus the Orioles has been the series versus the Orioles has been postponed, and instead the Yankees will play Baltimore tomorrow and Thursday. Jeff Passan tweeted that out earlier. No Phillies players or coaches tested positive in the most recent batch of coronavirus tests from Jeff Passan a little bit and Jesse Rogers earlier. So that was also the most important thing to hear from our standpoint, that we wanted to know, what does this mean for Philadelphia Phillies and where we are right now? That, all right, good, right? Good. It's great. No one, that's good. Not worried about the Phillies right now, even though we know that some things could still come out over the next couple of days where we could very well still get a positive test from the Philadelphia Phillies. But so far, so good. I think they're doing the right thing by not playing right now. Get ready for the weekend series and go from there against the Buffalo/Toronto Blue Jays back here in Philadelphia, where they will be the Blue Jays, the home team here at Citizens Bank Park. And as we sit here right now talking about the Major League Baseball test with the Marlins, there's some news coming out as well with Joel Embiid, right calf tightness, Glenn Robinson III, left hip pointer, and Raul Neto, lower back tightness, are all out for tonight's final scrimmage, the exhibition game against the Dallas Mavericks. I said this the other day and I'll say it again. I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all. It's an exhibition game. As long as he is practicing, that's all I care about right now, getting Joel Embiid ready for game number one against the Indiana Pacers on Saturday. When we talked about them being off, coming back, not playing basketball, getting back into basketball shape, getting back to basketball conditioning, we talked about these soft tissue injuries that could potentially hit every sport. And when you are talking about the best player in Joel Embiid for the Philadelphia 76ers, I do not care that he is not playing in these exhibition games. He just needs to be healthy for the seeding games starting on Saturday and the postseason when they get ready for the playoffs, whether it be the sixth seed, the fifth seed, the fourth seed, whatever it is. That's what I am most concerned about with Joel Embiid. So please, people, do not overreact to this right now. It's for the best, in my opinion, that Joel Embiid, if he has any tightness in his calf, to sit this one out. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. So please, okay? Please, let's not overreact to that until it is time to overreact. Now, when it is time, if you want to go backwards and say we should have known better once he missed the second half of the first exhibition game against the Grizzlies, sat out against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and now this one, the final test against the Dallas Mavericks, then that's fine. Then you will be well within your right to reach out to us and say, Devon, you were wrong. And this is a concern going forward for the rest of the playoffs. Then I'll take that. But right now, let's not overreact to that. Again, I'm asking you. I'm not telling you. I'm asking you because I don't see this as much. Keith Pompey did say that he was practicing the other day, so I'm not worried about it right now. He practiced yesterday. That's all I cared about. As long as he practices leading up to Saturday, that's what's most important for me in terms of Joel Embiid. But you guys have your own thoughts. Let's have at it. 610-632-0975 in regards to that. Joel Embiid, right calf tightness. Glenn Robinson, left hip pointer, and reserve point guard Raul Neto, lower back tightness, will not play in tonight's final scrimmage against the Dallas Mavericks. Your thoughts on that? 610-632-0975. As far as the Phillies, right now, good news that they, through the first batch of testing, no positive test for the coronavirus for the Phillies. That is also a great thing. Jesse Rogers and Jeff Passan reporting that earlier for ESPN, and that's something that we all wanted to hear, and they will be back at it this weekend when they finally get back on the field healthy. No testing. All good. All good. So we'll see the Phillies this weekend, and I also think that was the right thing to do. Now they don't have to travel to New York. They don't have to do anything but sit here, get tested every day, and get ready for the Toronto Blue Jays starting this weekend, Friday, at Citizens Bank Park. And once again, Tyrone had the keyword of the word of the day. We need like the phrase, most important. That's what it is. That's our phrase of the day, most important, which is no health issues coming out of the Flyers game, no positive tests for the Phillies, and no worries about Joel Embiid and him missing a scrimmage game against the Dallas Mavericks as they tune up for game number one of the seeding games against the Indiana Pacers once again on Saturday. So, guys, we have a lot to discuss before we get out of here at 8:15 from the Flyers. What did you see? What stood out to you? Was it simply, hey, we're healthy, now let's get ready for Boston on Sunday? As far as the Philadelphia Phillies and the Marlins and the Major League Baseball, what do you do? What do you do with the Miami Marlins? They've already decided collectively not to go back to Miami. That was the right thing to do. As Josh played a little bit earlier, thank you for finally making the right decision, both the Marlins and Major League Baseball, because this is a problem. Now, what needs to be done going forward? Should they decide to just simply keep Miami Marlins out of Miami, try to find a city for them like they did for the Toronto Blue Jays, which is in Buffalo? Can they find something on short notice? Or do they simply just have to travel to every ballpark that they were supposed to be playing that team and now make that a home game? If that is something that they're going to have to do, then that's what they're going to have to do if they want to have the fair and imbalance in Major League Baseball in terms of all the teams, again, balancing everything out. And once the postseason starts, you put everybody out there and, you know, the forfeiting and all of that stuff. This is something that had to have been discussed when they put together the protocol, health and safety protocol. They did not handle it the right way once the games got started and this popped up during their first weekend. They're finally handling things properly. Rob Manfred has already come out, said, speaking to, Tom Verducci on MLB Network yesterday, that they're not going to shut the season down. This is not going to be something, but they definitely need to pay attention to what was going on and act accordingly to this news and the positive testing. One-third of their team, their 33-member traveling party, tested positive for coronavirus. How could this not be a serious thing, right? How could this not be a serious thing? And going forward, they have to, again, handle this as such, as if this could happen again. We went off on them yesterday. I'm not going to give them a break, but this is something that you should have anticipated. When we talked about the NFL fumbling things at the beginning of last week and not having an agreement in place already between the owners and the NFLPA, we were wondering, how did you let this happen with so much time passing through, watching the NBA and the NHL put together their bubble, seeing what the Major League Baseball Players Association and owners were going through at that time. And then as you saw all the nastiness come through it, you talking about the NFL, how could you make this mistake? The one thing that they all had to prepare for in all of these sports, including the MLS, right? They had their own bubble. On page number 2 or 3 needed to be, what happens if we test positive during the season? How do we react? How do we handle that once we do test positive? And Major League Baseball dropped the ball right away in the first weekend, where you allowed, with whatever was in your protocol, a text message chain among the players to make a decision that they were going to play. I blame the Marlins, because I blame Derek Jeter, Don Mattingly, the front office, the coaching staff, for not stepping in and stopping players who are going to want to play and saying, okay, right? They're going to want to play. You have to say, okay, we appreciate it. we love the fact that you want to do this, but no, we cannot do it. The Phillies knew. They said, all right, we'll play too. What is going on? What is going on here? Just a ridiculous scene. Major League Baseball is at fault, like we talked about last night. So are the Miami Marlins, and to a certain extent, pointing the finger at the Phillies, because once they got word and once they got the news, somebody had to say, nah, we're not doing this. From Major League Baseball to Miami to Philadelphia, someone had to do it, and no one had the you-know-what to stand up and say, all right, let's pause this one. Let's run our test. If we have to make it up later, we'll make it up later. Hey, by the way, we're in the same division. We're going to see each other again. Let's get this right during the first weekend and let's then move on. Instead, you are the first example, and in a terrible way, where once again 15 players have tested positive that played in Philadelphia a baseball series. And now you have 15 positive tests and two coaches. Could have passed it along to the Philadelphia Phillies as well. This is a mess. They have to have a way to find Miami a new home, because no one in their right mind now that you have the example, no one is going to want to go into Miami and play against the Marlins. And they should not. All right? They should not. The Phillies should not be playing until Friday like they are against the Blue Jays. And the Marlins, the same thing, where they should not be playing until as early as Sunday, according to Jeff Passan from ESPN. So, what next, guys? What next for the Phillies? What next for Major League Baseball? What next for the Miami Marlins? We don't care about the Marlins, but look, we don't want anybody to get sick. We don't want anybody to lose their lives here over this. We want everyone to be responsible and get through this clean. Get through the Major League Baseball season. If they're going to continue to play, everyone get through everything positive here, right? Positively, just get through everything. All is good. Let's move on. I mean, come on. Charles _HEO says, if it was the Yankees or Dodgers with 17 infections, positive tests, would the commish act differently? Possibly. But it's the Marlins. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's wild. It's a wild thing. But you guys, you can your thoughts on everything, 610-632-0975. What next for Major League Baseball? What should they do going forward here? You're going to continue the season, and I'm good with them continuing the season as long as they handle things the proper way going forward now that you had the first example, right? A lot of negligence here, a lot of bad things to be pointing the finger at. Rob Manfred just does not look good from this entire offseason at all, at all. You're the commissioner. Someone had to step in and stop at least that game, that series, that game. Hey, guys, let's close this one down. I already said all of that. He needed to stand up as the man running things for Major League Baseball, and he did not. Derek Jeter, the same, who's also been doing a terrible job with the Miami Marlins. Same thing. Don Mattingly saying they were warriors for standing out there and playing in there. Seriously? This is what we're going to say. They were warriors going out there and playing. Look, they're all taking risks at this point because they're not inside a bubble like the NHL and the NBA and the MLS. But, I mean, come on. Warriors, let's please stop. Raider Frank, 65. The Flyers just played and won. Hey, Frank, we've put it out there that you can call in if you want and talk about the Flyers. Feel free, my man. You can do that. We put it out there for you. No one wanted to. We're not going to force it down anybody's throat here in this case. You want to talk Dodgers. About it? Call in, and you can talk about the Philadelphia Flyers getting their win. Megan says on Twitter, SoShell311, teams keeping that information to themselves and risking other teams / players being exposed. Selfish decisions like that ruin having sports back for everyone and potentially being put on hold indefinitely. And that is a fact. Now, here's the only problem, though. The only problem. The Flyers knew. According to the reports, right? The Flyers knew. What did they do about it? Say it again. Yeah. I'm sorry. The Phillies. Yeah, Josh jumped in and said, you said the Flyers. See, because I got yelled at for not talking about the Flyers. So it was on my mind. But the Phillies knew about it and did nothing about it, right? They said, okay. Now, you might have seen a few guys with some masks on, a couple extra guys. Rhys Hoskins. Who else had it? Bryce Harper had a mask. We already know about Didi Gregorius having the mask. But that's it. Even the Phillies, like we said, you get a little finger point. Like, hey, don't do that again. Everybody else is, you go into the detention and we need to talk about this. You're in trouble. Phillies are, hey, don't do that again. Now walk away. Right? So everyone had something in all of this and it needed to be handled properly. They did not. So now what do you do with Major League Baseball? We'll find out. We will find out as we go along. Sixers again, final exhibition tune-up starting at 8:30 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic against the Dallas Mavericks. No Joel Embiid as of right now as we find out again that the calf tightness is still a little bit of an issue for him. So with that, they're going to back him off, get him ready for the start of the regular season, and I am perfectly fine with that. I'm actually happy with that. As long as he is healthy and ready to go, that is what's most important for the Philadelphia 76ers at this point. Joel Embiid is the cornerstone of this entire thing. He makes this thing go. And if he is not able to play in the postseason, then I have my doubts about who they are and what they can do in the postseason. So he is going to be out. Glenn Robinson is out with the hip pointer that he suffered on Sunday. Raul Neto is also out as long as they are ready for the start of the regular season. Again, that's all that matters at this point. Health, health, and more health when it comes to all of this. All right? Health, health, and more health when it comes to all of this here with the Philadelphia 76ers for the Philadelphia Flyers and definitely with the Phillies, with what we've seen from them so far, going through all of this with the Miami Marlins. Let's just get out there and get some good health in. So what do you want to see from, if anything, that you want to hear and see from the Sixers tonight? What is it? 610-632-0975 as far as the Sixers tonight. Flyers pick up an overtime win thanks to Scott Laughton with an overtime goal over the Pittsburgh Penguins, only exhibition game, getting the W. Now they get ready for the start of the round robin this weekend against Boston on Sunday. And it was good to see hockey back. So you guys, once again, can call Frank if you want to call in on that. Have at it, my man. And we can talk about that as well. Flyers pick up a nice win. Phillies, no positive test right now. They'll be back at it on Friday. Marlins won't be able to play until as early as Sunday for them. And now that they have all of these positive tests, so plenty to get into as we have this abbreviated show getting ready for Sixers basketball. Guys, look, I'm excited that we are even talking about this. Look at it. We've done this before. This was our norm. We'll have Flyers one day. We will have Sixers another day. We are back at it where we have an opportunity to talk Flyers, Sixers, Phillies, all in the same day. The Philadelphia Eagles are at training camp, albeit they can't do anything. They are back at training camp. This is what we wanted. Sports to return. We have it. It is great to have sports back. It's good to see everyone back out there. We all want them to be healthy, but while they are playing those games, we definitely want to walk away with wins. So what do you guys think about the Flyers picking up their victory? The Sixers getting ready for their game. What are you looking forward to in this final exhibition tune-up against the Dallas Mavericks? And the latest news that we've gotten on the Philadelphia Phillies, no games against the Yankees or the Orioles. We'll see them on Friday when they play the visiting Toronto Blue Jays. They are going to be the home team, but that's the next time we see the Phillies back on the field at Citizens Bank Park on Friday against the Blue Jays. 610-632-0975. Guys, we will start off with you on the other side since I've run my mouth for the first 20-plus minutes to kind of set things up with all of this. But we, again, have an abbreviated show before Sixers basketball. Great to have Flyers hockey back here on the Fanatic. Great to have Sixers basketball also here on the Fanatic. And it is fantastic to hear the Flyers, first time we've heard them since March. And now, once again, another Sixers game, the third and final tune-up before the start of the regular season. The seeding games beginning on Saturday. 610-632-0975. We'll take your calls on all Flyers, Phillies, Sixers, Eagles as well. Josh Rabick is producing the show. I'm Devon Givens with you until 8:15 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
729, 97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you. 1 hour away from tip-off here on The Fanatic. Getting ready for the final exhibition game. Scrimmage against the Dallas Mavericks. Sixers in Orlando inside the bubble. 1-1 so far through two games. 610-632-0975. We have about a good 22 minutes commercial-free if you guys want to jump in. Talking Flyers, Phillies, Sixers, and even Eagles as they start training camp. We're here until 8:15 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. When I do say we, talking about Josh Rabick as well, producing the show. So check us out. Let us know. 610-632-0975. And I do have a question about the Sixers, too. NBA in general, not just Sixers-related. NBA overall. But we'll get there. We'll get there because I do have a question. I'm one of these traditional guys. I like things the way that they are, but now that we've seen things a certain way here, I kind of like it, but we'll see. 610-632-0975. Let's start things on the phone tonight as we talk you. Flyers coming off of a 3-2 victory overtime. Scott Laughton with the goal, giving them the victory in their only exhibition game of the exhibition season. Before they start their round robin against the Boston Bruins on Sunday, Scott Laughton, Lightning. Carter Hart looked good. He did. He looked good. So we're not worried about that little thing that happened about a week ago where everybody was like, that gasp when we first read that news, like, oh, no, Elliot, no, we don't want that. We want Carter Hart the entire time. You need that. Right, Josh?
We've had so many issues with the goaltender position.
Exactly.
Staying healthy, whether it was Mason, yep. Neuvirth, insert goalie name here.
Yep.
You know, with Carter Hart, we're just so happy to see him healthy. And now you have two goaltenders that are clicking, too.
Yes, sir. So, you guys, Carter Hart looked good. Good to see the guys back out there on the ice. What did you make of the game today, picking up the victory? Now getting ready for the round robin. 610-632-0975. As promised, let's start off in East Norton with Neil tipping us off here tonight. What's going on, Neil?
Hey, Devon. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I'll preface just my, not really a question, just flyer comment. I'll preface it by saying this. I'm ecstatic to see sports back. I'm 4-for-4. However, I want it. There's also a thing called life that supersedes any sport. I think the NBA and the NHL have it right with a bubble. I think baseball could have pulled off the bubble if they would have planned a little bit harder. I'm concerned about the NFL, and I'm even more concerned about college football. So I just wanted to preface my flyer comment by saying that I love sports, but life is first, obviously.
No question. I'm with you, man. Neil, I was also in your boat where, first of all, Neil, I didn't think they would even come back because of everything that's been going on and we still have the problems in our country. But, you know, we're trying to get through everything. And now that we are here, you're right, man. Sometimes it is hard to really care, but maybe when we get, as you said, the bubble is right for the NHL and the NBA. Once they get these really the regular season games going, things will feel a little bit kind of, you know, normal as possible. But for Major League Baseball, Neil, they were so worried about bickering about the money and all of that stuff.
They failed miserably.
Exactly.
They failed miserably. And Rob Manfred should be fired. I know he works for the owners, but their commissioner is looking like a total buffoon. My flyer comment, I got home from work. I DVR'd the game. I watched the entire third period. Had a great conversation with the producer before I got on the air.
Josh, yep.
It's an exhibition. The Penguins needed it more than the Flyers because the Flyers have the bonus of the round robin to still play some guys. Like today, Friedman played and Gostisbehere played. If they're totally healthy, those guys probably aren't going to play. Elliott got some action. My point is that I'm going to watch the first two periods after I hang up with you. But from what I saw, one, both teams are in terrific shape. So they worked their you-know-what's off during the time off during the coronavirus. The Flyers checking was, I think, the most telling sign and most positive sign. They got back. They forechecked. They dumped it in when they had to dump it in. I even told your producer, I thought there was a point in the third period when I think the Flyers just peeled back and wanted to work on the neutral zone and their defensive zone. And, you know, Pittsburgh tied it, but, you know, the Flyers wound up winning overtime. I'm just impressed because the Flyers' depth is the most impressive thing about them. And, you know, like I said, there's a chance that if guys may come down with coronavirus, guys are going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a Derek Grant goes down, Joel Farabee steps in. God forbid if a Voracek goes down, you know, you can move Raffle up and play Morgan Frost on the fourth line. They're just really impressive. And for the first game back from 4.5 months, man, the NHL ought to be like, they ought to have big smiles on their face, because that was a good damn product, man.
Yeah, it was. It was a good, first of all, people don't know, right, Neil? That was the first game of the season. So that was number one. And then number two, it kind of goes back to what we already knew, Neil, about the Flyers with the depth that they have in general. And if they can carry this over into the postseason like we saw in the regular season, things are looking up for them. And this was a very good start. It was great to see them out there again. And they got out healthy, as Josh and I, and I'm sure you and Josh talked about this as well. They got away from this one clean. They got away healthy. So that was great to hear.
Yeah. And it was just entertaining, man. Thanks for your time. You guys have a good evening, man.
Neil, you as well, man. Thank you so much. Hopefully you get to enjoy the sports, man. Hopefully you get to enjoy those sports because we do have it back, and it's back. Is it important? No, but once again, it's just good to see it. It's been part of our lives. It's part of our fabric. It's who we are, and we enjoy it. So it was good to see it again. It was really good to see it again. It was good to see the Flyers being the first ones out there, and as just mentioned, the fact that it's a good product. It was a very good product. It was a good game. And then they came away and they got away healthy. 610-632-0975. Elbow Shaferi on Twitter, when we were talking about Mattingly, he says the Marlins are the ones that should have had the mask on. Warriors, my you-know-what. 100%, Brian. 100%. Quiet Storm 12 _ Stacy says, I hear you when you say you're not concerned about Joe. And John wants to talk about this. Not playing tonight. But I thought Brett said he was in the best shape. 15 minutes in 3 games? Though, that is concerning, no? Well, being in the best shape, yes. The calf thing could have just simply happened, Stacy, in that first game, in the first half, where all this time off where they have not been able to work out the way that they are accustomed to in a normal off season. Sure, it could have, anything could have happened. So I hear you, and I ask for no one to panic, but I'm not going to tell you not to be upset that he's not playing, because we all know why. Why? Because of his past, his history with these injuries, his history of not being in the best shape, the conditioning, the history of seeming like he just kind of going through the motions. So I understand. I'm not going to tell you wrong. Stacey, that's just how I feel. That's just how I feel. I'm not worried yet. I get it. I'm not there yet. 610-632-0975. Austin, yeah, the Flyers won an OT. Don't bother mentioning that. Just talk about Embiid that's made of glass. Well, again, Austin, I don't know when you tuned in or when you read the tweet.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
But we started off with the Flyers being that the Flyers won 3-2 in overtime. And we asked, if you want to call in and talk about what you saw, the good things that you saw here. And we just started off with the Flyers. We're about to go to another Flyers call. Feel free, Austin, to call in and talk about how good the Flyers look, how good Carter Hart looked, how good that Kevin Hayes stealing that turnover from Malkin, getting the goal to make it 2-1 with 30 seconds to go left in period number one. You can talk about that. Talk about Carter Hart stopping Malkin when it looked like Malkin had him dead in his tracks right in front of him. And they got the goal. He just stopped it. He just stopped it. That's what goalies do. Stopped it. It was a good stop. But we're here. We're here, Austin, if you would like to talk about it. 610-632-0975, like Drew in Westchester is right now on the Fanatic. Drew, what's happening, man? You can talk Flyers.
Hey, man. Yeah, of course, Devon. I want to talk about the Flyers. I mean, it was a heck of a game. I mean, it was the first game back. I thought it was really cool the beginning of the game, though, when all the players stood together, you know, side by side on the blue lines in solidarity for, you know, the whole, what's going on in the world type deal.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, you know, you got your two pretty big rivals and they're, able to, you know, come together like that and stand up in unity together. I thought it was pretty powerful of a message to send. So I hope we see more of that in sports.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, you want to continue to see that stuff, man, and hopefully it just keeps going and everybody keeps pushing the message and you know, it just starts to take notice around not only the league but in many, many different places when it comes to all of this stuff. It was great to see that. Yep.
Yeah, and about the game itself, I thought, you know, that both teams looked a little sloppy at times. You know, I think it could have gone either way, really, the game. You know, a lucky bounce here or there could have, you know, changed the whole, you know, could have, you know, Penguins could have won that game. The Flyers could have won that game. The most important thing was just to get out there, get the rust off the legs, and, you know, take a couple hits, get your body used to being hit again. And I think both teams accomplished that and put on a good show for the fans that did watch it. And I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the playoffs start really come Saturday night. I don't know if you know this. I'm actually a Penguins fan, Devon. So when we talk, I'm usually talking as a Penguins fan. But
oh, good for you.
That's my buddy Josh right there.
That's right.
So, I mean, I still have respect for the Flyers, though. So, I mean, I always watch their games no matter what. And I just hope everything works out with these guys in the bubble. It seems to be working, and I hope it continues.
Yeah, man. And look, right now, we just all want sports back. So, yeah, you can be a Flyers fan, I mean, a Penguins fan, and call in and talk about the Flyers like you do often. Anyway, not a great game overall. It was the first game since they've returned, so you're going to get some things. Some other things could have happened in the game where it went a different way. But it was just a good product to see for the very first game back. It was great to see those guys back out there competing. And once again, for both sides, Drew, coming away healthy.
You got it, my man. Absolutely, Devon.
All right, man. Well, we'll talk. You got it.
All right, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks, Drew. Man. You got it. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. I love it when they come at us for not talking about the Flyers when you can call in and talk about the Flyers. Or even just tweet in and say, hey, it was a great Flyers win. Good to see hockey back. We'll see you guys on Sunday against Boston. Who are you more worried about in this round robin, right? Who are you more worried about as a Flyer fan when you look at Pittsburgh and what they are? The Lightning and the type of team. But, Josh, you mentioned it with Stamkos not being available. That's certainly helpful for the Flyers. But Boston being the team that they are and have been all season long before the break, there's some tough competition. But it's great to know that the Flyers are in that conversation where they're also, on their scouting reports, talking about this Flyers team is darn good.
Yeah, we know the Flyers can hit a gear like pretty much any of the elite teams. You look at Boston, maybe the difference in that series could be, you know, Tuukka Rask. Unfortunately, Carter Hart's not quite there yet. You hope he gets there, but you look at Boston. Boston's a team that would scare the life out of me because not only do they have depth like the Flyers, but that first line is like nothing the Flyers have when you look at one specific line. And the Flyers are going to get tested real quick here. Boston's the next one up.
Yeah, that's it, man. And how do you feel quickly before we go back to the phone, 610-632-0975, about their chances and winning this entire thing?
I think it all lies on Carter Hart's shoulders. And for the most part, because we know the Flyers can get to that certain gear, and they have athletic big defensemen more so than they had in the past, where you can present more problems to, say, like the Crosbys of the world if somehow you end up facing the Penguins later on in the playoffs. And some of those elite forwards where you're able to present more problems, a lot more puck control type of team. Mm-hmm. You're going a lot deeper. You can wear some teams down. But at the end of the day, the last game we saw before the stoppage of play was Boston and Philly. And if you rated them on the skaters 5-on-5, who looked better? It was the Flyers.
Yeah.
Yet Boston won. Why? Because Tuukka was just unreal. And you're going to run into a couple of those goaltenders. You need to match it with one of your own. At the end of the day, if we're talking winning a cup, Carter Hart is the ultimate X factor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You mentioned it earlier. The conversation has always been from Bernie Parent to Ron Hextall. Then it stops because everyone else is, well, who's going to be the one to help lead these guys to get all these key stops and stop any type of momentum that's going on, get these tough stops inside the net. And right now, Carter Hart is a young guy going into the postseason, has the confidence backing him from his teammates. They're behind him. They've seen this guy go out there and perform. He's performed very, very well. And there's no reason to believe that he cannot do the same thing. It's a different environment, but he's been there all season long. He's been a part of it. They have a great coach, it seems like. I'll say very, 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 very good coach. An experienced coach. They play for him. And that is something that you want to see going into the postseason.
At the very least, this Flyers team has had their legs. Throughout the season, you've seen them wear teams down. And that's part of where the depth comes from when you look at the conditioning. And just by the time they get to the third period, you didn't see it as much today because...
Yeah, exhibition.
Yeah, this is somewhere between a preseason and a regular season game. That's pretty much where I'd say the importance of that game lies. But a lot of times throughout the season, the third period comes, the Flyers would wear teams down, and it's all because of Alain Vigneault's conditioning of this team and how he skated them in camp.
Yeah, and our buddy Charlie O'Connor from The Athletic, lead Flyers writer, says Couturier noted that emotions weren't as high in this game as usual, but he attributed that primarily to the fact that it was an exhibition, not that empty arena. Says he thinks that when the games start mattering, the emotion will be there. Well, Sunday, the emotion will be there because that's the round robin, and it matters.
As you said before we went on, no one got hurt. Good.
Yes, good. 610-632-0975. Keith Pompey follows up with his Embiid, Robinson, and Neto tweet about them not playing in the final scrimmage tonight. The three are progressing well and continue to be listed day to day. 610-632-0975. John and Media next on the Fanatic. Hey, John.
Ron, how you doing?
What's up, Johnny? How you doing, man?
Hey, man. Good to hear you again. Good to be talking about sports. It's we've been sort of in a place where, you know, we have to talk about some uncomfortable issues, and that's been good. But it's kind of nice to be able to talk about, you know, some Embiid soft tissue problems, Flyers fans not getting enough attention.
Right. We're back to normal a little bit.
Back to normal a little bit, right? You know, I just got to say, I've been on for like 15 minutes. All I've heard is Flyer talk, so I don't know what these guys are talking about. But anyway, what comparison I wanted to just throw at you, obviously Embiid's not playing. We all know about the conditioning. I want to talk about a healthy Embiid and what he needs to look like for us to get to the finals. One guy that keeps popping into my head, I know he's always been compared to Olajuwon. I never understood that comparison. But I think Duncan, you know, is a much more fair comparison. You know, not a high flyer, not catching lobs all day, just Mr. Fundamental. You know, we all know Embiid, he's not the high flyer either. You know, he beats guys with his smarts, quickness, strength. Duncan used to do the same thing. Embiid's 26 years old now. He's not like a new kid to the game. You know, when you watch Duncan, I was just watching the first Knicks series, and I think when they won the championship, he's only 22 years old. And he just looks so smooth. Everything came so slowly to him. He wasn't rushed. You know, I'm thinking about these later playoff series when these double teams come to Embiid. I can't help but think he's just going to rush it. He's going to throw the ball away. He's not going to take advantage of all of his strength. So what do you think the disconnect is? How does it get to that point? Is it him? Is it still on the coach? I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
I think a lot of it does lie at the feet of Joel Embiid. Just as you talk about, he's 26, but he's still immature a bit as a player, where he gets himself caught in these situations, John, like you mentioned, the double teams where he can't recognize them quick enough and the turnovers start to happen. The ill-advised shots from time to time where, you know, he's fatigued and now he's shooting threes when he has no legs. Or just those recognition of the passing where he misses guys as well from time to time. And those are the bad things, but there are a long list of more of the great things that he does that makes him the player that he is, which is the reason why you're calling and the people who talk about him missing these exhibition games because of the injuries are asking about him, because he's so darn good, John. So for him as a 26-year-old, this has been my key. In order for them to advance in the postseason, like we've seen during the regular season, we need all NBA Joel Embiid and we need all-star Ben Simmons. We have not seen the both of them be at that level during the postseason, and we have to at the ages of 26 and 24. Now coming back with an opportunity where it's no longer a case of, oh, you guys were 10 and 24 in the road. The setting is the same for everyone. So how good are you? And how good are you two that people like the ESPN, John, put out their top 50 in the bubble? Embiid was 6, Simmons was 16, Tobias Harris is 42. If you are 6 and 16 and you are that good to get that type of attention, show us. Because those round 2 exits should really hurt, especially going into a situation like this where there's no reason where you should not feel that you cannot beat anybody in that Eastern Conference side. Led by Joel Embiid, number 1, Ben Simmons, number 2.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think the bubble will actually bode well for them. You know, I think it's helping Ben shoot some threes and might take a little pressure off Embiid. Like, we know he's the best player on the court in a lot of these playoff series we've seen, but we seem to be getting like the poor end of whatever his performances are over the last, you know, couple of years. And that could be due to matchups, but I think it's got to get to a point for us to win at some point. Like you said, you got to see that prime Embiid on the court in the playoffs, or else nothing's going to happen.
And one thing, John, before you go, that I like that Brett Brown mentioned was Embiid saying to him, I feel like we're closer here in this bubble. Glenn Robinson saying the same thing, but different for Embiid, John, because he is more of an introvert, if you will, where he steps away from his teammates. He doesn't do much with them. You know what I'm saying? So for them to be in this bubble and they are all that they have, I love hearing that. Now let's see it translate to the floor now.
Yeah, I agree. We can thank Tobias for that one, but all right, Devon, thanks for your time, man. Good to hear you again, and take it easy.
Okay? You too, Johnny. Thanks, man. We'll talk some hoops soon, especially when things get underway for the tune-up tonight, of course, but the start of the regular season. The seeding games are getting underway on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers. 610-632-0975. I love hearing that from Embiid. I hope it carries over for Embiid into the season where they feel comfortable with one another. They're all they have. I don't know how many friends he has around the league, but the ones that he does have in the locker room, let's go out there and hoop. And to John's point, Tobias Harris has been a big part of that. They do have an okay relationship. He had a better one with Jimmy Butler. Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons closer. This is good for them. And Tobias Harris stepping up as leader in the offseason during the time that they've been off the floor, and seeing some of the same things on the floor. The big attribute there too, knocking down those shots. The relationships will build even more when you knock down those shots coming with the passes coming to you from a double team from Embiid's hands. to Tobias's and knocking down that three. 610-632-0975. Flyers win 3-2 in overtime in their only exhibition game. Their tune-up for the start of the round robin on Sunday against the Boston Bruins. What did you guys take away from that? We'll tune up for the Sixers-Mavs as we step away at 8:15, handing things off to Brian Seltzer for the pregame coverage. Tom McGinnis on the game call at 8:30. Phillies as well, 610-632.
The Fanatic.
0975, final segment are coming. Stephanie, we'll start with you when we get back right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. 8 o'clock on the dot, 97.5 The Fanatic. 13 minutes before we hand things off to Brian Seltzer for the pregame coverage right here on 97.5 The Fanatic as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. My name is Devon Givens, along with Josh Rabick producing the show. We are getting ready for Sixers basketball following Flyers hockey. The first time we can say that since March. And it is good to say that to go along with a normal result for this basketball team, which was a victory. An overtime victory in this case. A exhibition game in this case. All of that being said, it's a win. It's good to see them back out there. And they got the victory thanks to Scott Laughton in overtime. 610-632-0975. So we don't want to waste too much of your time. We want to get to the phones. I have a question still for the NBA that I want to throw out there before we step away. So let's go to Stephanie in Newtown next on the Fanatic. Stephanie, how are you?
Oh, great. All flyered up. How about you?
Oh, listen, you know what? It's funny you say all flyered up. And we come off this exhibition game and we talk about it to start the show off for about a good 10 minutes. And Stephanie, people hear what they want to hear or read what they want to hear, like we weren't talking about the Flyers.
Well, I mean, long time, first time, but that's what gave me the urge to call in. I'm like, man, we are all flyered up.
Yeah.
I was at the Bucks County pep rally, what, like a week ago or so?
Right.
Gritty and whatnot. But, I mean, today's game, even though AV was saying how, you know, his focus is really on the first round right now. Like, yes, of course, we want to win. And we want to look good out there, but he's tinkering with lines, playing guys, you know, who are on the bubble, seeing, you know, who's going to make the first games out there. But really, it looked great. They all bought into his system this year. The acquisition of Hazy and how he already came from, you know, coaching with AV and being through his system, it really gelled together. All of them have busted out this year.
Yeah, and it looks good, too, because we've been talking about this all season long, right, Stephanie, where they just simply, they look good together. They bought into what you said with Vigneault. And the fact that they have all this depth right now, Carter Hart playing the way that he is. That's why we, of course, all hated the fact of what happened with coronavirus and shutting it down, because they were playing so very well that it looked like them going into the postseason, they had a chance. And now you just hope on an even playing field here, Stephanie, that as you saw today, as we talk with Drew and we talk with others, that it just looks good, at John as well, it looks good to have them back out there, and you can see where they still kind of have that in them to possibly make a run and maybe even in this round robin move up to the top spot.
Yeah, I mean, Boston is going to be a heck of a fight on Sunday, but everyone, even Boston, what should have been and would have been afraid of us before
right.
COVID.
Right. Right. Did you listen or just did you do both, listen and watch, or did you watch? Which one did you do?
I definitely watched.
Okay. How did you think of things now with no fans and what it looked like being in there?
Interesting. It's different for sure. I think the NHL is going to do a very good and well job of how they're going to have, you know, the, I guess, virtual fans and bringing in more of the gimmicks for us watching on television, but it's going to be different to see how the players react to it when it's hyped on actual playoff games, when we get into those rounds again. Yeah. And I just want that intensity out of them. I mean, I don't doubt that the boys will bring it, but you're hoping that third player, the fans on the ice, you know, that even we feel like we help sometimes, or that they get that momentum without us.
Right, and again, they talk. Couturier talked about that, and I mentioned Charlie O'Connor from The Athletic, his tweet saying that once things get underway on Sunday and games really count, that's when they'll kind of feel that a little bit differently. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Steph, it's hockey time.
I'm loving it.
All right, fire it up. We'll talk to you soon, Stephanie. Appreciate it.
Sounds great. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you. Look at that. See? Stephanie's all fired up.
Devon, you can admit it now. You seem a little fired up right now.
I'm excited, man, because they have a chance, right? Even playing field for everyone. And like we talk about plenty of times, these hockey playoffs, man, hockey playoffs are it. And everyone has a chance. And just because they might still end up in that fourth spot and maybe not even move up to number one, all right, once that series starts, the series.
All you got to do is make it to the dance.
That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. 610-632-0975. We have about 7 minutes before we get ready for Sixers versus Luka, as Josh Rabick puts it, against the Dallas Mavericks tonight. No Embiid, Robinson, or Neto. They're all being held out for, you know, various things. Hip flexor for Glenn Robinson. Neto also a little banged up. And Joel Embiid with the tightness in his calf, missing his second straight game, and we know about the second half of the first game as well, where he missed that time because of the calf tightness. I'm not worried about it. I know a lot of people are, but I'm not there yet. I understand the concern. You guys are not wrong, but for me, I'm okay right now until we see him miss a seeding game or a playoff game. That's when I'll start to worry and possibly even get frustrated overall with the fact that he is missing those important games for the 76ers. I get it, though. Trust me. I get it. I'm not ignoring it. I get it. Okay? I get it. I'm trying to find the tweet that came to me. Okay. Here's Slim Mike 61. This issue is him not being injured, but getting continuity with Simmons at the four. Okay, Mike, you got it. Getting that continuity. I hear you, man. I hear you. Can't argue with it that it would be nice to see them out there together. But the continuity with him out there on the floor with Ben Simmons, Shake Milton, the pick and roll opportunities that now they had the game, Shake, Tobias, and Josh Richardson, they're fine with Embiid. I understand your point, Mike, where you're now speaking more of that man with Simmons out there, Embiid and Simmons, making sure that continuity is right, that chemistry on the floor is correct with them being a 5 and a 4 out there. But once again, just to go back on you a little bit, Mike, these guys have been playing together for a long time, and I don't see much of a difference what Simmons is going to do, quote unquote, as a 4, that he will do as a 1, that he and Embiid don't know each other already. Right, being in sync on the floor for all of this time, they didn't forget how to play with one another. And before we get to people who say, well, they're not a perfect fit. They're not perfect, but they're a pretty good fit together. So, that was just to come back a little bit. I understand the frustration. Dan, Dirty Dan, 53, worried about Joel Embiid's calf injury? Question? No, I'm not right now. Nope. A lot of massaging of the calf, making sure the massaging of the calf is right, getting it all together, all good. That's what we want, right? Make sure the calf is good, so don't play any games. We knew that these soft tissue things were going to be an issue. It's not the worst thing right now. It's a little thing for me right now. No need for him to push through this. No. I don't need a hero right now in these exhibition games. No. Don't need to push through. You're fine. All right, here's my question. And I'll even throw this at Josh. We don't have time for calls, so I'll throw this at Josh as well. Dylan McKinnon is in there. He can thumbs up, thumbs down, if he so chooses. Do you guys like the 10-minute quarters that they've been playing in these games? 40 minutes over 48. It's kind of moving. I'm a traditionalist. I like 48. I like 48. And I know this is just exhibition. 10 minutes seems like it's moving pretty good.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. You know how I feel about exhibition games. This goes all the way around. Get in and get out, and it'll be enough of a sample size for me to see the little things that you're going to test. Is Ben going to shoot? How does he look at the four? See a little bit of the mixing and matching and everything like that. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Okay, what about for regular season? Dylan, you're saying kind of like, that little... All right, I understand. And now we haven't seen it in regular season. I was just throwing it at you guys because it was something that it's like, wow, these things are kind of moving. And we're still getting good basketball in those quarters, albeit scrimmage. But it's not terrible. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. So, you know, I'm like, all right. I want to keep it how it is. That's how I am. Change for certain things is all right, but I'll still take the 48. But the 10 isn't bad with the four quarters.
Yeah, for regular season play and games that matter, keep it how it is, obviously. But, yeah, for exhibition and scrimmages, yeah. Okay. Get them in and out of the court.
And Dill says the same thing. All right, fair enough. I just figured I'd ask that here for the 76ers before we hand things off to Brian Seltzer for the pregame covers. Quickly, what I want to see tonight, number one, no injuries. We're already talking about Embiid and Robinson, who I actually thought has been playing well. And even Neto, you want health. You want everyone to be healthy, getting ready for the start of the seeding games on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers, who are a tough out. So get ready for that. I want to see how Simmons plays in the limited minutes that he's out there. I don't know the number. I'm just simply guessing that he'll be out there for like 25 minutes and then he sits down and goes. I want to see more Josh Richardson and what he does. Who is Al Horford again? Can he give you two consecutive games with the good production that he gave you on Sunday? Can he follow it up once again in the starting role, albeit a starting role? But can he just follow it up with another good one? And what does the bench look like? Can they, if you have a lead, can they finally close it out a little bit better than we saw the other day for the 76ers? Josh, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it, both from the Flyers and now. Dylan is coming up to take over that spot, Tyler Zuli. And we are getting ready to hand things off to Brian Seltzer for the pregame coverage as we get ready for the final tune-up, the final scrimmage for the 76ers. As they take on Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, and the Dallas Mavericks. It's a reunion of sorts with Boban, right? And Tobias, Toby and Bobby, back at it out here for the 76ers. We'll be back for In the Post following the game. So hope you guys enjoy it. Stick around. Brian Seltzer coming up next. Tom McGinnis on the game called 8:30 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll talk to you after the game in the post.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.